Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
There's just a really sweet spirit in the house, and it's tender, but the richness of it is, it just feels like family. And just as I'm sitting around here, I'm looking at those that I love and love worshiping Jesus alongside. And isn't it fun that Morris can say, I remember worshiping with this family for however many years, back to my college days or, you know, whatever it is. And then I think my kids could have that story, that my kids are going to grow up saying, man, I remember there were these people that were 30, 40 years older than I was, and I got to worship with them as I was growing up. I think sometimes in the midst of so much hardship, it's hard to not focus on anything else, and yet there's a lot of good that I just want to thank Jesus for. I just want to pray for that, can we? Because there's a lot of good in our church family. Jesus, we thank you that you're so faithful here. We thank you for stories of legacy where, like, the Kelsey family has just dove in and they've owned it and been a part of this church, and they have stories like this. God, I just pray for the commitment to the family, that we would have these great legacy stories of family that worship for years and years and years together. God, we thank you for just so much what you've done for our church family. And just for the spirit that's in the house, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I began our new year, or at least looking to the new year, with the topic of leadership. And I want to continue on that vein here this morning. And so as I dive in, would you grab your Bibles and flip with me to Proverbs? And we want to grab a couple scriptures here. One's going to be Psalm 15, and another one's going to be Proverbs 30. Psalm 15 and Proverbs 30. One of the guys that I like to read often that when it comes to leadership things is John Maxwell. John Maxwell said this: leadership is simply influence. It's nothing more, it's nothing less. It's influencing. And whenever you carry influence on the life of someone else, then you have now led them in a way. Whenever you carry influence even on yourself, you can influence and impact and lead yourself in a certain way. Also, the stats that are out there that say that the most introverted person in the world will still influence 10,000 people over the course of their lifetime. The most introverted person that wants to just kind of stay in and of themselves still has influence on 10,000 people over the course of life. So whenever it comes to, should we think through how I want to lead or how I want to influence or impact people, the question should be yes, 100%. How is it that I can make an impact with my life, in my family, in my job, in my community, in my school, in my friendships and relationships that are around me? We touched a little bit last week on being in a culture that it's atmospheric, that provides so much life to you that you actually are influenced by the culture that's going on around you, right? You take that egg and you can stick it into boiling water, and that egg gets influenced over the course of time. And no longer is it soft. We now have a hard boiled egg. Why? Because the atmosphere around it shifted. How many of y'all know Indiana has some really good farm soil? Doesn't it? Anybody ever heard you take a seed, you take a good seed, and you put it in good soil, you're going to get a good crop. Anybody ever heard that around here? Could I just challenge that thinking that there's one more level to it? An atmosphere matters, because you can take the best Florida orange seeds and put them in the best Indiana soil, and you ain't getting no oranges. It's not that you didn't have a good seed or have good soil, it's that you didn't have the right atmosphere for it to grow in. It's not that it doesn't get hot enough in Indiana, it's just that it doesn't stay hot enough long enough. And so we need atmospheres that are hot, that are conducive for growth, that has fire on it, that engage and that can grow a certain designed and intentional crop. You might have good vows that you shared at your marriage, and you've got a husband and a wife that they've got these hearts that are the soil to like really help grow these vows. And so those vows were sowed into each other's hearts. But let me tell you something, if you don't create an atmosphere that's hot and sustaining an atmosphere in your home, then that thing could fizzle and die. And it's not constantly watered. Are y'all tracking with me? And so leadership is not just that I need to speak directly to you. I need to create an atmosphere around. Not just that I engage with my son, but that the atmosphere is so enjoyable that he is ready to run. It's like a vacuum. He just gets pulled into it. He gets sucked into it. There's so much inertia that's running in a certain way that's enjoyable. And he's like, yes, I want to be in that. We create cultures. And I believe that you can create a culture of passion, a culture of love, a culture that's fiery and fierce, a culture that's focused, right? That is leadership. And so as you are thinking, man, how do I want to create in my home? Do I just want to be just the dictator, or do I want to be the joy giver? Do I want to be the rule and taskmaster, or do I want to cast vision that they will say, hey, I don't need the rules because the vision is so enticing? My answer is yes. Are y'all with me? And so it's grabbing hearts rather than just spanking bottoms all of the time. And I'm not just talking, you know, well, hey, my kids are grown and gone. And no. In every relationship that we have in life, okay, that we can create atmospheric engagement to where they're caught in and pulled with inertia into something. Check out this quote, and I want you to try to guess who this great philosopher is. He said, "The saddest people I've ever met in life are the ones who don't care deeply about anything at all. Passion and satisfaction go hand in hand, and without them, any happiness is only temporary, because there is nothing to make it last." Oh, it came up too fast. Because that's a pretty heavy statement to make. And then it's Nicholas Sparks, right? The lover romancer of The Notebook. So here he's saying passion is something that creates life. It's the thing that wants to, and if you don't have it, then there's no reason to live at all. And so he's really trying to dig into something that's much deeper whenever it comes to it. I think also this, when it comes to leadership, I got to think, man, I'm not just kind of attending this thing called life. Because like for the most part, you guys are just showing up today and you're attending and you're just observing. And that's okay because somebody else is leading. But there's this other thing that you're a major part of leading, and it's called your own life, that you just can't show up to. You just can't kind of be an attendee of. But to when you come into your own life, which is every second, every minute, every hour of every day, you're leading it in some direction. And I just want to ask this question. Who gets hurt if I don't play at my highest level? Who doesn't get the full blessing of God if I'm not engaging them with the life of Christ whenever I come in? Who is sucking wind that they need a word of encouragement and they need me to speak life to them, and they don't get it because I would rather just show up than lead? And there's a huge difference. I talk to people and they, man, I'm just so busy. I got to go to this and I got to go to that and I got to attend this thing and I got to show up to that thing. I'm thinking, yeah, the schedule's full, but there's a huge difference between showing up and leading. Y'all, no? Is this landing? And so even though you might not be the leader, you can still be leading. I tell this to Judah often. I say, Judah, I want you to go play with the girls, and I want you to lead. But I don't want you to act like you're in charge. Huge difference. And Judah, I want to fine-tune this thing in you, because acting like you're in charge and letting everybody know that you're in charge ostracizes yourself from the very people that you're trying to lead. And so can you come in and have fun and cast some vision and lead in a direction and be so fun and engaging that they just naturally want to follow you rather than saying, listen, this is how it's going. Everybody sit up straight. Everybody listen to me. Point your toes, right? Big difference. Now, we need both. Jesus comes in and he says, hey, we need to act like this and we need to live at this standard. But you better believe Jesus was fully alive. Jesus brought the joy and the energy and the life. So much so that the Bible says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness. He was covered with the oil of joy more than all of his companions. He was the happiest person to ever step foot on planet Earth. Jesus didn't walk around just kind of gazing up into the heavens, disconnected, telling people to stop sinning and you need to get right and you need to, and you're all wrong. No, he came and he lived and he dwelt among us and he engaged with us. I love the videos that show Jesus smiling. He's actually seen the Father. He's tasted and he knows that it's good. And he calls his word good news. Jesus comes with a different sort of a spirit. Whenever it comes to this place, I hope that we've created a culture where we have great people that engage with you when you come in. That there's greeters there. That you get to see Jake Stroop's smiley face when you walked in this morning. Man, that's a face you want to just see, don't you? You just kind of want to snuggle up with that beard and, you know, don't try it. There's still some pancakes left in there a little bit. But we want to greet, we want to engage. We don't want to just come and find our seat and be disconnected. No, we're not attending, we're engaging. And so let's lead and let's find one another. This is a family. And so we want to say hey to our family. And to work around the room, there should be atmospheric energy when we get together around the purpose of Jesus. Family, I haven't seen you all week. We get to worship together. That is atmospheric. Can y'all help me create a family atmosphere that loves to see one another? And then as we're exiting, let's shake, let's hug, let's engage as we're leaving this place. Let's create an atmosphere where people walk in and they're like, what in the world is this? I feel loved. I feel engaged whenever I come in here. What if this was a culture that was a generous culture, that we just understood the principles of giving? And I not only want to tithe, but is there another opportunity? Is there another cause that I can give to? Are there more things that I can engage in? Why? Because I'm just caught up and the vision is so exciting of what we're doing in our community. I'm all in. What is it that I can do? Maybe this high amount of volunteering. Hey, I'm not just showing up. I want to engage. What are the other things that are happening around here where I can engage in? It's a culture that speaks life. We speak life to each other. This happens, and I'll do it immediately whenever I don't hear it out of my kids. Say, hey, Ronnie, come here. Ronnie, we don't speak like that to each other. We're going to speak life. If you need somebody to correct your brother or your sister, there's a dad in the family. You can be the best sister. Just go have fun. Be the sister. Correction can come from the father. The sister, just go have some fun, right? You don't need to micromanage your sister. She doesn't like that, right? There's another leader here. And so let's speak life to each other. Can you imagine a culture that walked up to one another and say, hey, you might be new here, but we don't speak like that to each other. We speak life. Hey, I just, my ears aren't a garbage can for you to unload all of the gossip about how you don't like that person. What I really like is to see the best and believe in them. If you've got legit concerns, I would encourage you to go talk to that person. Or speak to, you know, another leader. If it's like an immoral issue, then maybe one of our spiritual leaders could handle that. But I just don't really want to be the recipient of all of that. But I am all about speaking life. Can you imagine a culture that defended one another, protected one another, and said, when you walk into this place, you're going to get loved. You don't have to worry about who's talking about you because you're going to have life spoken over you. So it's atmospheric again, and we've got to have a high level of buy-in whenever it comes to creating an atmosphere like that. So finally, I'll get to point number one. Leaders and true, like good leaders, lead with joy. I got this video. Melissa sent this video this last week through Instagram, and it's this video of this little girl that every day she waits for her brother to come home and get off the school bus. And she just stands in the driveway and she's waiting and she's eagerly waiting, and the bus pulls up and the little boy gets off, and he comes running to his sister, and they almost tackle each other with hugs. I want to show this video now of the energy and excitement it is when you see one another.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Can you imagine? Would that be the coolest thing? Every time you pull into the driveway, yeah, you're home. You did it. You made it through another day. We celebrate you. That might be over the top, but still, I'm talking not maybe necessarily the practicalities of that, but the energy of I love you. I love celebrating you. You're home. I'm so excited. It's like if everybody had their own personal like fan club of golden retrievers. Can you imagine if this was a golden retriever, like, happy house right here, and you came walking in, and they're just wagging those tails, and they're just so giddy. Why? Because you're here. You showed up. You're a part of the family. We love it. You're not disconnected. You're engaging. You're joining in, and it creates so much more energy and so much more life. I'll tell you, me here by myself is not very enjoyable, but when the family shows up, we start having a lot more fun. There's a way to do it that gets way more engagement and action. Joy that is in a leader is so refreshing to follow. I'm going to say that again. When a leader has joy, it is so refreshing for those who are following. It's like following someone who's constantly giving you a drink of cold water. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so refreshing. It's bringing life to my spirit. It's overflowing and spilling into my marriage. It impacts my home. IU, Indiana University, has not been known to be a football school until recently. And this past year, their coach, Tom Allen, has shifted, not necessarily different things in recruiting or different players. What he shifted the most is he shifted culture. And there is a culture that's in the locker room. There's this culture that's atmospheric when they get out onto the field. And they have this phrase called LEO, L-E-O, and it's called love each other. And the thing that we're going to major on the most is not our schemes or our running game or our defense. The thing that we're going to major on the most is we're going to love each other. And we're going to defend each other. And no man left behind. And we're going to fight for one another. And IU was, they beat all of their rivals, and they went through the conference. They lost by a single score to Ohio State, who's going to the national championship. They were that close, right, of going through the conference here. And I want to show you a clip of these coaches from Indiana. They beat Wisconsin, and they're like running, tackling each other. One of them trips over his headset cord. They're just like third graders let out for recess. It's unbelievable the amount of energy that happens. They interviewed the quarterback. He's talking about his love for Jesus and his love for this team. The culture is this atmosphere that everybody just kind of gets sucked into at another level. Let's show this clip.
Your word for the week was prove. What did your team do to prove they were worthy of this win today?
Well, it was a complete team win, start to finish. We knew we had to step up. We challenged our guys to be 1% better in every area all week long. You lose a guy like Michael Penix, he's such a special player. But Jack Tuttle, he stepped up, played really, really well. But this football
America
team
right
responded.
If you are, recruits, come play for this man. Best coach in America.
Yeah, I just love this football team.
Hey,
yeah, baby.
Right here. Best coach in the nation right here, man. Let's go. Coach right here.
Let's go, Cali.
The team.
Man, we just, it's a special group. It's a special group. Doing special things together.
This team is based on LEO, love each other. This is love like I haven't seen, Coach. What does it feel like?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, you just build it every day. You believe in something, and you don't stop believing. And to God be the glory, and I'm just so blessed and so thankful.
Awesome. I want to bring in Jack Tuttle. Jack.
I just want to say something. This is the best coach right here in America right here. Love this man. Hey, people's guy right here. He's a player's guy, man. I love him.
All right. Well, Jack Tuttle.
Love you so much, Coach.
Jack, you had one of the first games that you've ever played this long. How did you perform today in this moment?
I just want to say thank you to God. Thank you to my team. Thank you to my coaches. You know, the defense played a great, great game. Offense took advantage of some opportunities. We got to get in the film room and, you know, work on some stuff. But overall, as a team, great job.
You got drilled a couple times. You had to get up and fight back. How did you have that inside of you?
Coach preaches it every single day. It's LEO. You know, I just love my team more than anything. I'm never going to go down. I'm never going to stop. I'm going to keep on working for them.
Beautiful, guys. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
All the years that Indiana has struggled.
Come on. I don't know about you, but I want to play. I want to strap down both sides. And he says, hey, tell me about the game. What's going on? He says, I don't want to talk about the game. I'll talk about how we love each other. You got these guys that are 6'5", 300 pounds, jumping on top of their coach, talking about how much we love this guy. He's the best coach in America. And he's the guy that demands something of you. And you've got to run until you're throwing up. And you've got to hit each other. You got to go hard. But I love him. I love this guy because he's bringing out the best in me. And people will follow someone when there's joy in the house, when there's atmosphere that just sucks you in to another level. It's not about football. It's about LEO, right? It's not about whatever we want to call it here in the spiritual realm. It's about, can we love one another? Can we love our community? Can we go above and beyond to show how much we love? People will get drawn in by your love. How will they know that you're Christians, the Bible says? How will they know that you're a Christian? Because of church attendance? Because you got a scowl of righteousness on your face? Because, you know, the kids never, you know, marked on the walls because they were so righteous and holy? No, they will know that you're Christians by your love, by the way that you love one another, and by the way that you love and worship this God. How about the quarterback? Hey, tell us about the game. What an amazing game. He goes, I just want to thank God, and I want to thank my coaches. But talk about the game. Oh, we just love each other. That's a culture. And the culture shifts and it brings something with it. I'll tell you, loyalty is a consequence of life-giving leadership. And when there's life-giving leadership, people will not only follow, but they will stay. And they will stay for a while because they can't get enough of what's happening. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 29, it says this: three things are stately in their tread, four are stately in their stride. Like the lion, he's the mightiest among the beasts, and he does not turn back before anything. The strutting rooster, y'all just know that strut, that rooster strut as he comes walking in. It looks like Conor McGregor just come walking in. Or he says, or the male goat, the he-goat, and also a king when his army is with him. There's something stately about a man who walks, and man, his people are with him. And as we move into our second point here also, this comes out of Psalm chapter 15, verse 1. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? And then he answers this question. The one who keeps an oath, even when it hurts, and does not change their mind. Point number two, I believe, about good leadership is leaders do what they say they will do. They bring a great energy and they bring a great atmosphere, and then they follow through. They do what they say they will do. When you say that you'll do something, you create an expectation inside of the people that you're speaking with. I will do this. Okay. I'm expecting that of you because you have told me that. Expectations now mean that people are leaning on you. When people are leaning on me, there's an expectation now that I will deliver. And delivering is what leaders do. Leaders don't make excuses. Leaders make it happen. And whenever you don't do what you say you will do, and those expectations aren't met, you break trust with the people that you promised. When trust is broken, over the course of time, your leadership is questioned. And then no longer do I want to follow the leader that I can't trust. Y'all tracking. And so you say you'll do it, you don't do it, I can't really follow that anymore. And so it's a great combination to lead with joy and yet to take on and shoulder responsibility. Because we could just hire a bunch of jests and clowns in here to have a lot of fun. But you won't follow them if they never ever don't have responsibility. Does that make sense? And so it's the marriage of both. Can you come in and bring a life-giving culture, and then can we also get to it and get after it and make some things happen? So, for example, in a I've seen this in young people, even, you know, myself especially, say, yeah, you know, maybe in high school, yeah, Johnny, I'll come over on Saturday night. Until somebody else more cool and popular invites me over. Oh, shoot, they're all doing an overnighter and I really want to go. And I told Johnny that I would come to him, but I really want to break that and go with somebody else. Oh, they're all going to go, you know, spend the night over here, but this group is going skiing and they invited me and oh. And so is your word your bond? And do you keep your word even when it hurts? Oh, it hurts. I would much rather. But what I said was, right? Or maybe it's responsibility. I will get this to you by the end of the week. And here it is. It's the weekend. What are you going to do? Oh, this is going to hurt. I've got to stay up all night to pull this thing off. Because why? I got to get it to him before Monday morning. It's the end of the week. I gotta make it happen. Is your word your bond or not? Whenever it comes to relationships or maybe even, let's just take our church for example. Yeah, I will serve and be there for that. And then it's the time. It's game time. Hey, real quick, sorry, can't be there. No, I promised, but I'm just gonna have to break my word on this one. Or maybe you're part of the funeral dinner. Yeah, hey, I'll make some stuff. Great, you've created an expectation and now we're leaning on you. Sorry, I'm getting so practical, but these are very practical. Now there's an expectation that you'll deliver. Hey, not coming. And by the way, not gonna drop off the salad. I'm not bringing the soup that I told you that I would. There was an expectation. You said you would, and yet you break your own word. Leaders just don't have the luxury of doing that. That's a nice luxury. It's some broken integrity, but you might just see it as a luxury. I'm not leading it, so I don't have to be there. I don't have to do that thing. And we're saying, no, if you're a part of a family and you say you will, then follow through with what you say. It's kind of simple. You all might just be looking at me like I'm dumb, but this is reality, is you've got to follow through on those things when you say that you will. Or just call Bob Evans and have them make it and pick it up and drop it off. Cater it. Do something, but find a way. This happened just the other day. I was challenging Judah on something, and Judah came in and told me why it couldn't get done, followed by all of the excuses for why. He thought they were reasons, but they really were excuses. I said, Judah, in this home, we're just going to raise leaders that think differently. And leaders don't make excuses. What leaders make is they make it happen. So you just got to find a way. You got to FIO. You got to figure it out and make it happen. That's leadership, son. And we're going to learn how to do it. We take responsibility. Let's take this maybe one step deeper. And you get married, for better or for worse. And we gave our oath and we spoke these vows to God in the presence of family and friends. And sometimes that relationship gets really tough. Now, I'm not talking about toxic, abusive relationships. There's times when we need to separate from those. But just hardships that, you know what, it hurts. And I made some vows that I need to stick to. And I want to encourage anybody that's in that spot, double down on that place where you were. Keep your integrity before the Lord. Even if you don't feel that heart connect with another person, it's about keeping that heart connect with the Lord. God, I made some vows. And even when it hurts, I'm going to stand my ground here. I'm going to stay committed in this place. And I'll wrap with this. This is another great leadership point with John Maxwell. He talks about the difference between roles of responsibility, rights and responsibility. And there's this pyramid, right? So check this out. I have rights, you know. I have a right to sleep in. I have a right to show up late. I have a right to not answer my phone. I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be frustrated. I have a right to not forgive you because you hurt me. I have certain amounts of rights, Are y'all with me? And when we major on our rights, many times we push off responsibility. Because I have my own rights. And because we're so rights-driven in America, we put in laws to defend our rights. And many times, as I want more rights, I get entitled to you have to serve me. And Maxwell says that pyramid needs flipped upside down, because when I major on my rights, I take less responsibility. But if I flipped it and said, you know what, I have the right to come whenever I want, but I have a responsibility to make sure that I'm here. I have a right to not be a part and disconnect and not be involved, but I have a responsibility that's much greater than me exercising my rights. I have a responsibility to come and be a part of this team and this family. I have a right to not engage the Martins and try to serve and love their family, but I feel a responsibility to my community, to my family, and to the Lord on how I'm going to love my community. So let's move rights aside and let's take up a much stronger banner of responsibilities. Does that make sense? That's leadership. So let's not flex the muscle of rights. Let's flex the muscle of responsibility. Let's shoulder it and take it on. Because Judah can all day long say, I have the right to pick up my stuff and not Ronnie's. Yep. And you just isolated yourself from a much greater vision. He who serves the most is the greatest leader of all. So Judah, let's just take responsibility for others. How about that? Because then this atmosphere gets really good. It gets really good, buddy. And so, family, as you are leading in your own home and leading in your own life, I want to encourage you, lead with joy, because it rallies people, and then take on responsibility. If you say you're going to do it, do it. All out. Until the Lord calls you home, pour every ounce of energy into that thing. I've read recently some studies that go on. Kathy, maybe you know best on this with like some brain studies. But even when we make promises to ourselves and we break those promises, what happens to the inner man is we start saying, I can't even trust myself. And this double-minded man enters the scene, and we know, I'm going to say something, and I know I can't even count on myself. It's New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go on a diet. And then January 2nd happens. And you were invited over to someone's house, and they've got your favorite dessert, and you love carbs, and you know, whatever. And you go from losing 20 to gaining 2. But you know inside, you're like, it ain't going to happen. I've been telling myself the same story for a decade. And you know it. And maybe it's even more of a bummer when you break your word even to yourself. Don't even have enough honor for yourself to speak the truth. And I want to encourage us. Can we be people with truth that follow through and that lead with so much joy and fun? I hope that it's said of me when my kids exit my house, or maybe when I exit this life, my kids would say, wow, he created so much joy in that house. Wow, he was a joy to have as a dad. Maybe your legacy is, that guy was a blast. That mama, that grandma, man, did she have so much fun. I loved following her. What a great legacy. And Jesus says, the legacy that I left, the anointing that I walked in, was the oil of gladness. Family, I'll tell you, when we take up responsibility and we do it with a smile on our face, lots of people are going to be impacted with our lives. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Jesus, we just ask you that this would be a culture like a Leo, where we love each other. God, I pray that this would be like a locker room talk, where we get fired up to go live this game, where we take our game to our kitchen, take our game to our car, take our game to the community, where we find those that we can just get pulled in like inertia, pulled in to this atmosphere. Lord, I pray that this would be a church that shoulders responsibility, that owns it, that looks and sees what their role is in the community and says, I can do it. I can engage, sees what their role is inside this church family and says, yes, sign me up. I want to go deeper. And Father, we just pray health and life over every single person here. God, put joy down deep in their bellies, and I pray that their lives would carry mega influence. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.